Baruch Hashem, this is the fifth year that we're zochet to do this together. And I want to begin just by thanking the many people who made it possible. Baruch Hashem, it was a tremendous effort. I want to thank the shul Bichlal for being open to such a thing, for allowing it to happen. And I want to thank everyone here for, of course, coming out and for wanting to be a part of this. And I want to thank the many sponsors who made it possible for us to do this tonight. I want to thank the Mandelbaum family, Mark and Lisa Mandelbaum, Yossi and Alana Cohn. Thank the Ferbers, Michael and Andrea Ferber, Michael and Sharon Cronenberg, Aviva and David Markowitz. We hope that our singing together and our learning together and our just spending time together should bring good things upon all of these families and all of Klal Yisrael. And some of our sponsors tonight sponsored Le'ilo Nishmas, Rivka Bas, Rav Shimon Asher, and Rav Mordechai Yosef ben Azriel Zelig. So Chanukah is a very interesting thing. You try to understand a little bit what it's about, where it comes from. It's a very mysterious Yom Tov. It's really the conclusion of the Yom Tov that we've been working on since Rosh Hashanah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to the later generations that there's a secret of Zman at the end of Chanukah. Somehow, this is the Gemar HaChasima. This is the end of the entire Tshuva period, everything we've been working on since Rosh Hashanah, trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Brachos, if you see olive oil in a dream, if a person has a dream and he sees Shemen Zayis in a dream, Brachos daf nun Zayin, Yitzapu l'ma'or ha-Torah. A person should look forward to encountering the light of the Torah. What's the ma'or of the Torah as opposed to just the Torah? It doesn't say if a person sees olive oil in a dream, they'll be zocha to learn a lot. It says if a person sees olive oil in a dream, so you should be mitzapeh to the Ma'or HaTorah. Perhaps the answer is found in the Medrash in Eicha, where the Medrash says in the introduction to Eicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, and it's a funny Medrash, it's hard to understand, but Hashem says to the Jewish people, halavai the Jewish people would abandon me and just cling to the Ma'or, to the light of the Torah, because the Ma'or Shaba machziron lemutav. I don't know what the difference really is between Torah, which in general is described as Or, versus specific places where Chazal described the Ma'or HaTorah. But what's clear from the Medrash is that the Ma'or HaTorah is Machziran Lamutav. There's something about the Ma'or HaTorah that brings a Jew back, that allows a person to come back to where they're supposed to be. And therefore, if a person sees Shemen Zayis in a dream, all the more so if there's Zochah to do mitzvahs for 8 days straight with Shemen Zayis, or even candles, a person taps into the Ma'or HaTorah, into the inner light of the Torah. And again, like the Medrash says in Eicha, that's Machzir and Lamutav, that brings a person back. It helps a person to be Chozer B'Tshuva. Tonight, Baruch Hashem, we all achieved Mahadrim and Mahadrim. We're working on it for 8 nights. Again, I'm making an assumption that people did not follow the opinion of Ner Ishubeso, or the opinion of Mahadrim, but most Jews that I've met, actually, all Jews that I've ever met, Do Mahadran and Mahadran. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And now the menorah is full. The menorah is fully illuminated. And when we have all of those voids, all of those gaps of the menorah filled in, so that's a Jew coming back to Hashem the way it's supposed to be. There's no gaps. There's no unfilled spaces. The tzaddikim say that Mahadran and Mahadran is gematria tshuva. Again, the word hadar itself means to be chozer, to come back. Mahadran min mahadran, to come back and to come back again. And to believe in some interesting way that Chazal have revealed to us, that tzaddikim have revealed to us, that on this last night of Hanukkah, even if we still feel that there are some unfinished gaps in the menorah, that it's possible for a person to still fill in those gaps. That it's possible for a person at the last minute to, so to speak, not only get everything that he was supposed to get, or she was supposed to get over the course of Hanukkah, but to get and to internalize everything we're supposed to get from Rosh Hashanah, maybe from Elul time. There's a famous var from the Kashrut Tzur Magid. He explains in his writings by Pesach, he says that when it comes to Sfira Sa'omer, of course, it's also a process of building up. We're counting and we're moving forward, counting the days, counting the weeks. But he writes a very powerful thing. He says, until Shavuos comes, it could mamish be the last moments as a person's getting ready for Shavuos and he feels that I haven't really prepared myself properly. 7 weeks of counting, of getting ready, and I'm not really there. Says the Kashrut Tzur Magid, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote in this Torah, Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Ad Mimacharas HaShabbos HaShviyas Tisperu Chamishim Yom. Until the last minute, you can still count all Chamishim Yom. You can still do all 50 days. I found a very interesting sefer this past year, Shavuos time, called the Avas Chaim. Rav Chaim Yehuda Deutsch, a Hungarian Rav, passed away in 1937, a Talmud of the Aruga Sabosam. And he writes in his writings on Erev Shavuos, he talks about this idea from the Kashrut Tzur Magid. And then he writes at the very end of his writings on Shavuos, he says, how can I hold back? V'lo emna lahosef shlafi anias daiti, zeu nami hatam shekorin yom ha'achron d'yemei Chanukah zos Chanukah. Why do we call the last night of Chanukah Zos Chanukah? We feel so thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us this opportunity, which we hardly understand. Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasto. I realized during Hallel the other day, those who know me know I like gematrias. So Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, Ki Li Olam Chasto is gematria Zos, 408. Hodu LaHashem, what an amazing gift Hashem gave us. We don't really understand exactly what's happening here. But the tzaddikim are telling us, no, somehow, if you missed Chanukah, if you feel like Chanukah went by so quickly, which is here. So we call the last night of Chanukah, and the last day of Chanukah, the Yom Achron of Chanukah, says Rav Chaim Yehuda Deutsch, in the early part of the 20th century, we call the last day Zos Chanukah. Why? We know what Chazal revealed to us. The Heichon Ganzu Bator. Where is the light of the Sheish Yisimei Bereishis, the original light of creation, hidden? It was hidden, Chazal revealed to us in the Torah. Uveneros Chanukah kesha Adam mechenes atzma litar lakadishes atzma. When a person stands by the Neros Chanukah, and we try our best, like my nephew Rafael taught us, you take your shoes off. It's not just a throwback to the Beis HaMikdash. The tzaddikim say that when a person's whole mamish becomes the Beis HaMikdash in Chanukah, it's not a crazy halach at all. Take your shoes off. You're standing in the Beis HaMikdash. When a person doesn't have a menorah, there's a halacha, you can make a bracha on someone else's menorah, the Birchas HaRoah. So some tzaddikim explain, in a sefer called Mar B'Chaim, Avram Chaim Brim says, you can make a bracha on someone else's menorah because you're seeing the Makom HaNes. Mishnah says in the ninth parak of brachos, HaRoah Makom Shanasa Nisim LiYisrael. If you see the place where a miracle took place, you make a bracha. Baruch Sha'asa LiNes B'Makom HaZeh. Every Jewish home becomes a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Every personal menorah becomes the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when you make a bracha on someone else's menorah, you're making a bracha mamish on the place where the miracle took place. So says the Avos Chaim in his writings on Erev Shavuos, so when a person tries to prepare the menorah to metar himself and mekadesh himself, and he's able to tap into the Or HaGanus, Yochel Lizchus B'ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or LaHargish U'Lakabel Oros HaKadoshos, Shalaneros, when a person lights the menorah, when a person learns Torah, he taps into the Or HaGanus. Kishekvar avar yom yom, va'omir biyom ha'achron, mimei Chanukah. When you feel like, I could have gotten more out of the second night, or the fourth night, or the seventh night, and now it's the eighth night, And this is it. We lit the menorah. It's over. A person needs to realize that when he comes to the Yom HaAchron, Mimeach Hanukkah, Shekvar Chas V'Shalom, he feels that Efes Tikva, there's no hope, there's nothing left. I could have gotten better davening, a better halel. I could have understood a little more before I lit the menorah, the kavanos of the menorah. Lezem Ma'orim Es Ha'odom, or Mechazik, a person, we encourage a person, Leimor Lo B'Yom HaAchron, Zos Chanukkah, it's still Chanukkah. We call the last day of Chanukkah, this is Chanukkah, this is also Chanukkah. And not only is this also Chanukkah, Klomer should be Yom Ma'achron Azeh Yachol Letakin Od as Kol HaChanukkah. Person in the last moments, just like Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you counted 7 weeks of Sfiras Omer, but you're still not really ready to Mekabel the Torah. So we spent 8 days trying to absorb the inner light of Torah, the Or HaGanuz, the Ma'or HaTorah, that's Machzir and Lemuta, that brings us back to Hashem. And if we feel like we didn't take advantage, there's still plenty of time left. So I want to start by asking just a very honest question. It's a conversation I have with people here in Shul. It's a conversation I have a lot, probably even more, in my role in YU. And that's the question of, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu make life so difficult? So if the question doesn't resonate with you, then I guess you can, you know, just have another donut and make yourself comfortable to be more in a gunim at the end. But I find that most people... And I'm not chas v'shalom complaining. Life's kavaldik. Life is amazing. Life is great. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws a lot of monkey wrenches into the story. A lot of bumps in the road. There's a lot of ups and downs. I've yet to meet the person, the perfect family. Nothing. There's no problem. Not help. Shidduchim. Not getting the right school or getting the right job. I've yet to meet my family. I even had a time a couple months back. Woman. Something came up and it was going perfect. Now it's like finally it came up. I thought like this was going to be perfect. I said, really? You thought this was going to be perfect? I said, let me just, without obviously using names or God forbid, compromising anyone's privacy. But let me just, like, in my mind's eye, walk around my neighborhood. Right? Just the people I know, just the things that I know, the things that people have shared with me. Right? And I went like around Bergenfield, again without identifying individuals, God forbid, or particular streets. But I just walked around and I said, You think it's going to be perfect? Like, this one has this, and this house has that, and this one has that. And I go walk up and down all the blocks, and right, the houses that I skipped over, the ones who I just haven't had a more personal conversation with yet. So why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu make it that way? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu make that life is filled with so many struggles and so many challenges? I was in Stern College a couple months ago, and a young woman came over to me, and she wanted to ask me a question. I get there a little bit early before I give a shiur, about once a month. She's a tremendous artist, and she wanted to paint a picture, a painting, a portrait of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. But she wanted to paint it. She was very inspired, I guess, because of the radiant aura of the Rebbe. She wanted to paint it with very bright colors. Very radiant, very vibrant colors. But she was nervous. She thought she had seen artwork like this before, of tzaddikim. But she wasn't sure, like, is that like a pechisas hakavod, you know, to paint a tzaddik, a rebbe, in these really bright colors. Again, it's expressing the aura that the tzaddik represents. But she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure if it was appropriate. She was curious what my thoughts were. So we spoke about it for a little bit. And it just so happens that I knew a story from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I wanted to share with her. And I shared with her the following story. There was a young person who was engaging in the process of being Chozer B'Tshuva, who came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and said to the Rebbe, why is it so difficult? Like, I'm trying to be close to Hashem. I'm trying to do the things. I'm trying to be connected. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu make it so difficult? Why does Hashem make it so difficult? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his unbelievable way, struck up a conversation with this person and said, tell me about your life. Tell me about your interests. Tell me about your hobbies. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was interested in people's hobbies. What do you do? What are some of your hobbies? So this young man said, I like to paint. I like to paint. Who's your favorite artist? So the fellow says, Pablo Picasso. Picasso. The Lach Rebbe with a big smile says, and who? Tell me of Picasso's work. Do you have a favorite painting? So he says, yeah, there's a famous Picasso painting of a sunset. And there's people, it's by a beach, and there's people, there's young children playing, and there's an elderly couple strolling in the distance. And he said, I always connected to that picture, because as you see that magnificent sunset, and you see the young people there, and you see the older people there, it kind of represents the passage of time, the different generations of life. So whenever I look at that painting, besides being just an amazing piece of art, he said, it's something that I always felt was, you know, speaking to life's experience. So Lubavitcher Rebbe said, he says, let me ask you a question. He said, imagine if a photographer would have been standing on that beach, watching that sunset, watching those children play, watching that elderly couple walk by in the distance. Imagine if someone were to photograph that scene, that magnificent sunset by the beach. So he says to him, he says, tell me, which picture would be better? The painting of Picasso? Or the photograph that precisely captures every single detail of what's happening at that beach. So he says, well, you know, the picture, I guess, would be more accurate. It would be more correct. Right? But of course, the Picasso is worth a lot more. He says, in fact, this Picasso, this painting that I'm thinking of, just sold at auction for $8 million. And those types of pictures, a picture of that sunset sells in like a gift shop, like as a postcard for 25 cents. So the Bava Rebbe said to the person, so he said, so tell me, so why is it that the painting that expresses certain flaws, it doesn't capture it so perfectly? It's not exactly it. The painting that's not so precise, the painting that has some mistakes, the painting that's not exactly it, why is it worth so much more than the photograph that's so precise, that's so perfect? And the Bavitch Rebbe taught him a tremendous lesson. Bavitch Rebbe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has plenty of malachim in Shemayim. And the malachim are perfect. They don't have a Yetzirah, and they don't have struggles. And they never have to grapple with a Yetzirah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us to this world. He sends a little spark of his neshama down to this world in the form of each and every one of us. Right? And we're struggling. And we're trying our best. We're trying to paint a picture that Hashem will like. But we know that there's details that are not precise. There are colors that are not exactly the way it's supposed to be. And yet the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, but that painting is worth so much more than that little photograph. That painting is worth so much more than the picture. It's dafka, it's the brush strokes. It's the imperfect brush strokes. It's the failure to get the details exactly right on that elderly man or woman's face. It's the color patterns that don't exactly match up the sky on that beautiful afternoon. That makes it so precious, that makes it so valuable, that makes it so unique, that makes it so authentic. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said the same thing is true about our lives. It's the imperfections, it's those moments where the colors are not exactly the way that Hashem wants it to be, but it's that willingness to try to paint that picture, and to try to do it the best that we can, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views as being so valuable. So I said to this young woman, I said, you want to paint? I saw she's a very sincere young lady. I said, you want to paint the Lubavitcher with beautiful colors? You know, maybe it's less true than, I told her this story, what the Lubavitcher looks like. You know, to paint the Lubavitcher with rainbow-colored beard is a little bit different than the Lubavitcher's actual color of his beard, but if that's something that you connect to and you feel that you're doing it as an expression of Kvod Shemayim, and you feel that you're doing it to give kavod to the tzaddik, not God forbid to be mazal, so I said, I think you could do such a thing. And I told her to stand behind my advice. It wasn't a psak, but to stand behind my advice. I said, and the truth is, I would even hang such a... I said, we have actually a painting of the Chafetz Chaim in our dining room. I would hang such a painting. A vibrant, bright-colored Lubavitcher Rebbe painting. I would hang such a thing in my house. Beginning of Hanukkah, I get a package in the mail. You should come by the dining room. It's unbelievable. She did an amazing job. It's already up on the wall. Bright colors, it's true. It's bright colors. But it's mamash a beautiful painting. And it'll be a reminder to me and my family as we think about this story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, to think about why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu make it so difficult? Why does Hashem like the painting more than the photograph? because it's much more beautiful and it's much more unique and it's much more special and much more valuable than just a photograph of the Lubavitch Rebbe hanging on the wall. Viktor Frankl went through 4 concentration camps, knew a thing or two about suffering. He said, in order for something to give light, it has to burn. Which is a terrifying statement to put in the context of the Holocaust. But for something to grow brighter, there has to be burning. The oil has to be consumed. Something needs to be destroyed in a certain sense for it to be able to give birth to a new light. There's an amazing letter, there's a volume of letters that I have at home from Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's called Mor Ledor Navuch, Guidance for a Confused Generation. And I remember probably about 10 years ago, I was flipping through this volume, and I saw it was Hanukkah time, and I found the Hanukkah letter. A letter from Lubavitcher Rebbe to a woman, and he writes in this letter, he's writing to her, thanking her for this menorah that she designed. Beautiful artistic menorah, with beautiful also, he was complimenting her on the way that she designed it, and the way that she chose the colors. He was complimenting her on how authentic it was, and again, how original it was. And he says to her, you know, the message of Hanukkah is, the most basic message of Hanukkah is that a Jew can't be complacent. A Jew has to be most of a holich, a Jew has to try to increase the ore. And I appreciate your artistic creativity to create this beautiful menorah, this beautiful display of menorah. And he writes to her, being mechazek, that you should always continue to be most of a holich, you should always be so creative. You should always find new ways to bring new light to the world. And I'm looking at the letter, and it's written, I'm looking, it says, it's written in Hebrew, it says, Teaneck, New Jersey. A letter from Lubavitcher to a woman in Teaneck, New Jersey in 1970. There weren't so many Jews in Teaneck, New Jersey in 1970. We could probably track her down. I'm waiting like to tell this story and someone stand up and say, like, I was the woman from Teaneck, New Jersey. That'd be a good, you know, that'd be a good story. Right? But Lubavitcher was writing to, you know, to the Jews of Teaneck and Bergenfield. And he was saying that a Jew has to always try to increase the light. But Viktor Frankl said the only way to get the light is through a process of burning. That's part of the answer to the question, why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu put us through such a difficulty sometimes? The only way to bring out our potential, the only way to bring out the light that's contained inside of us. Bikesh, Yaakov, Leshe, Beshalva, Yaakov wanted to retire and take it easy, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu said no such thing. The Kodesh Baruch Hu sent him the rogue Zoshel Yosef. And Hashem shook him from his slumber, so to speak, with the world of Yosef. And Yosef is so deeply connected to Hanukkah. And it's only through the burning that more light can be increased in the world. Why is it, we go through the Al HaNisim, the very last phrase, tonight's the last night of Hanukkah. Let's think about the last phrase of the Al HaNisim. Again, whether you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, the last phrase is the same in both. Ba'al HaMilchamos. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're thanking Hashem for the salvation, and thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Nisim, and thank you, Hashem, for the battles. Thank you, Hashem, for the battles. Why are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? Such a strange thing to say. I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles. Who wants to battle? And it's deeply connected. It's not by chance that it's connected to Zos Chanukah, because the tzaddik from Yampola, which was in Ukraine, and the sefer called Imre Tzaddikim, quotes from the Berditchever, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, who said that the name Zos Chanukah comes from the pasuk, Im tachana alai machane lo yirali bi, im takum alai milchama bezos anivoteach. If there's a milchama, then bezos anivoteach. So he said that's where Zos Chanukah gets its name from. If there's a milchama, bezos anivoteach. The last phrase of the Al HaNisim, it's also really the last phrase of the introductory line of the Haneros Halalu. Al HaMilchamos. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the milchamos. Who thanks Hashem for the milchamos? Bezos anivoteach. Says the Berditchever, that's where Zos Chanukah gets its name from. I checked it out. Bezos anivoteach is gematria, Zos Chanukah. So it works out very nicely. What does it mean? Why we're thanking Hashem as Chanukah is over. Thank you, Hashem, for the battles. Thank you, Hashem, for the victories. Why do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? Tfasemis and Parsha Shoftim, and Yismach Yisrael in his writings on Chodesh Sivan, say the same shot in this pasuk. What does it mean to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles? What does it mean? Im takum alai milchama bezos anivoteach. If there's a battle in this I take comfort, in this I have confidence. I place my bitachon in the battle. So both the tzaddikim, the Sfasemis, the Alexander Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, they both said the same thing. If I feel that I'm in the battle, and I feel that I'm still trying, and I'm still fighting the battle, sometimes I'm winning, sometimes I'm losing. The picture is far from perfect. The colors might be a little bit off, but the colors are beautiful in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, because bizos ani botech, im takum alai mecham, if you're still fighting, bizos ani botech, Hashem says that's gevaldik. You still care to fight? You know how hard it is in our world today? Let me speak more personally. You know how hard it is for me to find like new things to say? I'm running out of stories like really fast. I'm saying like I've been meaning to ask my Rebbe Rav Moshe Weinberger, who's, you know, for years and years and years been mechazik people, and you know, and he ends every shmooze and every drasha with a hope for the Mashiach. But like, how many more battles can we handle? But in Tekum Alay Melchama, the fact that Jews are still coming out, and the fact that we're still trying, and the fact that sometimes we win and sometimes we lose, but we're still trying, that strengthens our munah and bitachon. You look at Jews who are struggling, but are still trying. That should be mechazek us, not just the victories. And that's what we're saying. Yes, ala nisim, ala niflos, and all the salvations and all the miracles, but also ala melchamos. The fact that Jews still care, when you sit with a Jew and you hear what they're going through and they don't feel like they're so successful, and maybe in some objective sense we're not so successful, but we're still trying, and that's very chashuv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaTanya writes in chapter 27, he says, this gaiva to think that we're supposed to be winning all the time. Who says you're supposed to be winning? He says, most of us have the soul of a Beinoni, and the soul of a Beinoni is to spend our entire life in the fight. But if you're still in the fight, if you're still trying, if you're still engaged in the Melchama, bizos ani botech. Yosef HaTzadik, again, Chanukah is so deeply connected to Yosef HaTzadik. Did Yosef HaTzadik have a perfect victory over Eishes Potiphar? It's a Gemara you can't talk about in public. So to Daf Lamed Vav. You'll check it out. It wasn't so perfect. He didn't escape Eishes Potiphar completely unscathed. And yet, Dafka, in that moment where he chose to run away from her, because it was a partial victory, and at least he fought, and he tried his best, even though it was far from perfect, he becomes Yosef HaTzadik. That's what it means, Al Milchamos. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Milchamos. Thank you for teaching us that the Milchama itself is also a Chashuv thing. That he becomes Yosef HaTzadik, because when it looks like it's not possible to win, because he's already losing, as the Gemara presents there, and so to Daf Lamed Vav, but he fights back and he wins a little bit. Or at least he didn't commit the Aveira all the way. And that makes him a tzaddik, that makes him a hero. He's the one who's called Yosef a tzaddik. Majid Zarebi has a beautiful vart in this week's Parsha. Yosef's standing with his brothers and he can't hold back anymore and he needs to reveal himself to his brothers. So the Majid Zarebi, the holy Majid Zarebi says, if you look at the Pasuk says that Yosef says, V'lo yachol od Yosef lihisapeh. Yosef couldn't hold back anymore. The Majid Rebbe reads the Pasuk, when a Jew feels v'lo yachol, that he's not able, yichenish, I can't do it anymore, like it's time to surrender. There's only so many milchamos that I can be engaged in, and I feel like, Hashem, if you give me one more hard test, then my emunah is going to break, my bitachon is going to break, if the Yitzhar comes at me again, I'm going to break, I'm not going to be able to resist anymore. When a Jew feels lo yachol, again, the Pasuk says, Lo yachol od Yosef lis'apeh. Yosef could not hold back any longer. But the Majid Zarebi puts the comma in a different place. Lo yachol, when you feel that you're not able to anymore, od Yosef lis'apeh. Od Yosef, a little bit more, hold back. Because that's also something. You want to speak Lashon Hara, so hold back for 5 minutes. Maybe in 5 minutes tonight you won't want to speak to Lashon Hara. Maybe in 5 minutes tonight you'll speak to Lashon Hara. But at least you'll have fought for something. At least you'll have tried. Yaakov Avinu goes back for Pachim Ketanim and he fights against Sarah Shal Esav. And he fights and he's injured and he's limping and he's hurting. But he's Yisrael now. He's not Yaakov anymore. In Renoam, the Rebbe of Jikov brings an amazing remez. He says, Yaakov is Gematria 182. Pachim Ketanim is Gematria 359. He says, when Yaakov goes back and he fights for Pachim Ketanim and he wins, he's hurt badly. We don't need to get Hanasha Ara Yom HaZeh, the Torah says. But he went back and he fought. And you could have looked at it as just a little thing. It's pachim ketanim. But when Yaakov goes back and he gets his pachim ketanim, albeit he's hurting, he's broken, he becomes Yisrael. Says the Imre Noam, says the Rebbe of Jikov, Yaakov plus pachim ketanim is gematria Yisrael, 541. Yaakov is 182. Pachim ketanim is 359. When Yaakov fights for pachim ketanim, and he defeats the Satan, which is also a gematria pachim ketanim, he becomes Yisrael. But he's hurting. It wasn't an easy win. And his name doesn't reflect the fact that he won. Kisarisa. Why is he called Yisrael? Kisarisa. Rav Leibel Eiger explains. Kisarisa, because he fought. We're not named for the victory. We're not named Vatuchal, the end of that pasuk. You fought against angels and people, Vatuchal, and you sometimes win. We're named Kisarisa because you engaged in the battle. That's what Yisrael means. Those who are willing to continue to fight. To realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in the fight. To realize that Chanu Chafhei was the day that they were still battling. It's not like Purim, where we celebrate the day after the battle, but Chanukah we celebrate the day in which they were battling. Because Alam El Chamos, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battles themselves. To realize that sometimes our biggest enemies are really just HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing us, pushing us. To paint that painting, even if it looks imperfect, but it's worth so much more in the eyes of Hashem. The Be'er Mayim Chaim has an amazing vart. Be'er Mayim Chaim, Parshas Kiseitze, quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. The pasuk says, Ki yinei oivecha Hashem, ki yinei oivecha yovedu. It's a tefillah. David HaMelech says, Ki yinei oivecha Hashem, the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yinei oivecha yovedu. Halavai, the enemies of Hashem should be defeated. But says the Be'er Mayim Chaim in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, Ki yinei oivecha Hashem. When you realize that oivecha, when you realize that the thing that you're fighting against is really just HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing you, when you realize that oivecha, that your enemy is really just another test from Hashem, that Hashem is, so to speak, playing your enemy because he's trying to build you up, then all of a sudden, hinei oivecha yovedu, then your enemy disappears, because it's not an enemy anymore. So loving Rabbono Shalom was trying to challenge you to meet your potential. And yes, you might be hurting when it's all said and done. B'zos yadati ki chafatzavi. But says the Yismach Yisrael in his writings on Chanukah, B'zos yadati ki chafatzavi. How do I know, B'zos, he says, Zos Chanukah. How do I know in Zos Chanukah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires me? Ki lo yariya oivi alai. Because he didn't allow my enemy to overpower me. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every time he threw an enemy at me, I kept fighting him. And I kept fighting, and I kept fighting. And it wasn't perfect, it was far from perfect. Rabbono Shalom, I kept fighting each and every day. Lighting the menorah is done. We're done. That's it. We did it. We still have Hallel tomorrow. We still get to daven tomorrow. We still have a whole day to daven over these ideas, to think about these ideas. Someone wrote in the Sefer, he said his nephew was once by his parents, and his nephew came to be by his grandparents. And it was the day after Chanukah, and his nephew says, what's with the menorah today? So the grandparents say to their grandson, we're done. We don't light the menorah anymore. Hanukkah's over. Last night was the last night. And this little kid is not makabel. He says, what? My grandparents don't want to light the menorah? I can't be here anymore. I have to leave. I need to go back to my house. In my house, we always light the menorah. He didn't understand that Hanukkah does come to an end. At some point, we don't light the menorah anymore. But if you understand what Galus Yavin was, and if you understand why we end the Alei Nisan with the word Alei Milchamos, right, the battles are not over yet. Of all of our exiles, of all of our victories, Chanukah was the most imperfect victory of all. We got the Beis HaMikdash back for a little bit of time, but eventually, a couple hundred years later, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. Chanukah is an ongoing story of a conflict, of a never-ending milchama. But we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the last night of Chanukah. We say, thank you Hashem for the milchamos. Thank you Hashem for the struggles. Thank you for the opportunity to realize that Hinei Oivecha Hashem, that what appears to be an enemy at times, is really just you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, testing me out. It's you challenging me to what? To paint a magnificent, vibrant, colorful painting, because the angels who are producing photographs don't sell for all that much. I want to just end with two amazing stories. Simple stories. The Satmar Rebbe came to Switzerland on the 21st of Kislev in the year 1944. how this Atma Rebbe got from Bergen-Belsen to Switzerland was quite a story. The famous Castor transport. And it was a couple days, 21st of Kislev, a couple days before Hanukkah. There was a big yeshiva in Switzerland at the time. And the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva came to invite the Atma Rebbe, all the Jews who were coming to Switzerland at that time. They were nervous, maybe they were diseased, maybe they were malnourished, they were nervous, they kept them in a holding area. But when it was revealed that the Atma Rebbe was amongst them, this Rosh Yeshiva came to his connections to free the Atma Rebbe, to be able to release him from this detention center, that he should come to be mechabed the Atma Rebbe with lighting the menorah on the first night. To stay by him and to be his guest and to light the menorah in his home on the first night. So he comes back to this fellow's home, to this Rosh Yeshiva's home. And he sees a beautiful menorah is all set up. Beautiful menorah, oil, wicks. And it's time to light the menorah. And the Atma Rebbe goes over to the menorah and he starts taking out the wicks. He starts plucking out the wicks. With one hand he's plucking out the wicks, with the other hand he sticks his hand into his pocket and he pulls out these little threads. So they say to him, "What are you doing?" So the Atma Rebbe says, "I had no idea if I was going to get out." He says, "For the last couple of weeks in Bergen-Belsen, I was collecting little threads from garments, whatever I could get. And I was trying to weave them together, I was rolling them together. And I was hoping that I'd have the opportunity that even in that hell on earth, if I ended up there, that we'd be able to have a Hanukkah." But he says, "Now that we're freed, now that I'm freed, so to speak, I can't use these fancy wicks, I can't use these nice wicks. I need to use the wicks that I prepared for the last couple of weeks for Hanukkah." And the Atma Rebbe loaded his wicks into that bracha, and he started to recite the first bracha and the second bracha. When he got to the bracha of Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lezman hazeh, he burst out crying, thinking about all the hardship Jews who were still suffering, what those wicks themselves had been through, let alone what he had been through. Chayai meru b'koshi, a life that sometimes is so difficult and so bitter. And yet we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, "You know what, Hashem, this is all somehow part of the master plan. It's not easy. It's really not easy. A person's going through a difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to try to be loyal soldiers." So I leave you with one final story. December 7th, 1941, of course, was the attack, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, which threw America into the war. And I read a story about a simple American family, two sons, Alfred and Sidney Gross, who when America went to war, they were drafted, they were taken to war. 3 years they spent in war. One was sent to Burma, one was sent to the South Pacific. They trained, they went to war, they were engaged in all sorts of battles. And their mother was terrified, not only for their physical life, but for their spiritual life. These were simple Jews in America in 1940. But she was so nervous, she said, she whispered a tefillah. She sent her boys off to war. She said, I'm sending two Jewish boys off to war. Do you know what that's like?" So her friends, her relatives said, "You're so scared for your children." She said, no, I'm sending two Jewish boys off to war. I'm worried, what's going to be with their Judaism?" And this woman, for 3 years, the mother of Alfred and Sidney Gross, for 3 years, she fasted every Monday and Thursday, for 3 years straight. And when they finally got reports that the war was over, her family looked at her and said, "Okay, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, it worked out." They were under the impression that their children had survived the war. No, they were traveling back, they were heading home. So they said, "You know, Ma, you can eat now. It was a Monday morning. You can eat now." So she says, "What do you mean I can't eat now?" She says, "I told you, when the boys led to war, I told you I sent two Jewish boys into war. I can't eat." They said, "The war's over. They won the war. We won the war." She said, "We won the war? I don't know if we won the war. I'm not going to know if we won the war until my two Jewish sons come back and their Judaism's intact." And when those boys finally came home, when Alfred and Sidney Gross finally came home on a Sunday morning, and there was such a sense of joy when she saw that her children were still connected deeply to their Yiddishkeit. Of course they had suffered a lot throughout the war. And of course their Yiddishkeit was challenged. And maybe there were ups and downs. Maybe there were some failures along the way. But when she saw that more or less, she sent two Jewish boys into war and two Jewish boys came back from the war, She said that next Monday morning was the first time she had a breakfast on a Monday morning in 3 years. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends each and every one of us out to the battlefield of life. And Kadosh Baruch Hu trusts that we're going to come back, good Jewish boys and girls, good Jewish neshamas. But on the last night, we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for the last phrase of the Al Anisim, the last phrase of the opening series of expressions that we have at the beginning of the Haneros Halalu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for the Mochamos. It's not an easy thank you to offer, especially when the Mochamos is still raging. But to be able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we appreciate, we understand that yes, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and sometimes it seems like I don't know how I'm going to find the strength to battle another battle. In Ruchnias and Gashmias, the struggles of Olam Hazah, the struggles of this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bezos Ani Boteach. If you're still sending me out to the battlefield, I have the confidence on Zos Chanukah that somehow this is an expression of your desire, that you trust me, that you've selected me to be one of your precious soldiers. You didn't make me an angel who only knows how to take photographs, but you made me a soldier on the battlefield who's trying his best to paint a beautiful picture that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get the from. So Mir Tashem, we should use the next 24 hours. It should be a zman of tshuva, it should be a zman of tefillah, it should be a zman to appreciate that the fight against Yavan is not over, it's far from over. But Amir Tashem, each one of us can still continue to fight, to do our part, to be those good Jewish soldiers out on the battlefield. And Amir Tashem, to be able to come back to their Bono Shalom, should be able to look at our neshamas and say, listen, you were hurting just like Yaakov Avinu was hurting, right? But you're Yisrael, you're a fighter. You're a Jew who knew what it meant to fight that battle till the end. And Amir Tashem, if we continue to fight, we'll be zochet to see the ultimate victory of the Gula Shleim of Mehera. Amen.